Hey, welcome to the Monday Night Conference Hour with Wayne Free and accompanied by Terry Brown. And those of you that are, I know we have people listening all over the place and on the replay line, this is a conference called Multidimensional, Interdimensional, Co-Creative Hour that we're going to spend. And I have to get the conference call on the line. So if you are on the line right now and you're waiting for the show to start, give me about 2 minutes, and I turn it over to Terry to talk to you, but she's probably too shy. Terry, are you too shy to talk to people?
Oh, I'm pretty shy.
She's pretty shy. Now, she has her good qualities. And actually, what's one of your good qualities, Terry?
I'm persistent.
She's persistent. She's dogged. She has a lot of Taurus.
That can be a good quality and a bad quality, because I might keep on trying something after it's soaked into the ocean.
Water, saying, wait, I know there was some land here.
There's got to be a way to do this, even though it's 50 feet underwater now.
Well, as we go through this hour, we'll be having conversations with sources. When I say sources, I mean consciousnesses in other dimensions and that have identified themselves as group souls. And if they're telling the truth, which I think they are, they happen to be not just any group soul, but the group soul that created the physical realm. How's that? Now, do you believe that? You probably don't. But they don't have to. You can listen in, and you can think of it as entertainment. But they're pretty sharp at answering certain kinds of questions. And tonight we'll be asking them how they do interventions in this realm. If you could imagine that somewhere billions and billions of years ago, there was not a physical universe. Prior to a physical universe, there were a bunch of energy beings, and they were not really thinking of being God. They were thinking of more like painting pictures, like an artist paint a picture. That's how they kind of explain it. And they learned how to concentrate energies, which ended up being a physical realm. And then they granted free will to the beings in the physical realm. And so here we are today, billions of years later, the result of free will. And one of the things about free will is that we can ask them for help. They can do things from their realm into this realm. And they don't do things unless someone asks down here. So historically, it seems like this is the intelligence that through history we thought of as God. But they're really explaining how they work, not as the traditional religious, metaphysical idea of God as being a single consciousness. But you see, it's a bit of a paradox, because it is a single consciousness, because the whole universe is one energy. And so it is one consciousness, but it's subdivided. It would be like a basketball team where you see everybody really interacting, or a band where they're all like playing together. So it has to do with the law of one. It has to do with group energy, and it has to do with how do we make a link from this realm to that realm so they can help us, help ourselves, because I think we need help, anybody watching the world these days. So we're going to be finding out how that works. And we actually work on Sundays, and we actually do requests, and amazing things happen on a Sunday morning grid healing. So if you've never attended that, you might If you're not in Message a Day, I recommend signing up at messageaday.net. You'll get notifications of all our conference calls, including our Sunday call. And one of the things that's cool about this is that when we do a call, particularly on Sunday, and they're on the line, people feel their energy. Because they're a huge group soul, they can flow energy into everybody's face who wants it, who's listening. And they do that. Let me get on the conference line, because we've got a bunch of people waiting. And Terry, why don't you just count to 50, okay?
Well,
that way people will know something's going on. Just say, this is Terry counting to 50, holding space, the wind comes back.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Terry, hoping that wind gets back immediately. Taking up the space until wind gets back. I think that I started getting, learning how to channel in 1995 when I was going to channeling sessions with Cheryl Taylor. Every week she would have a channeling session. And eventually she moved out of town and she gave up channeling so much. And then I've lost track of her at this time, that she actually had a course
online,
in how to channel. I think I hear somebody on the line.
Terry, we got the conference line. Everyone to be quiet, because we got on BBS first today, and Terry has been entertaining everybody. So now we're in a... This is a big deal for her. Because, you know, she's pretty shy. What did you say, Terry?
I was just telling how I got introduced to channeling and that Cheryl Taylor had a course in how to channel. And so in 1995, I took her course. And that was the first time that I ever channeled.
Okay.
Uh-oh, somebody hung
Entry
up.
Entry and exit times are off.
And hi, you know, normally what we do at the beginning of the show is we have everyone on the conference call say hello to everyone on BBS. Did you finish your thought, Terry?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's see. We got, for you guys on the conference call, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hello, BBS.
Hello.
Welcome to the call.
Welcome.
And now
we're going to
have everyone on BBS that's listening on the internet say hello back to us. Okay? But you have to do it psychically. So we have to feel it. So on the count of three, I want you to send loving hello energy back to all of us. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, energy.
Now, there's somebody who thinks they're listening on BBS. Maybe they are. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, who's that?
This is Sylvia in California.
Hi, Sylvia. What city are you in California?
Thank you.
What city are you in?
Chatsworth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know it?
Of course. My friend Jeff lives in Northridge, right next to Chatsworth.
That's right. We're, like, really friendly neighbors.
He lives on Devonshire. And,
Really?
On Devonshire.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
real close.
I'm going to mute everybody. Anyone want to say anything before I mute you? No. Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I asked if anyone wanted to say anything before I muted you. Have you been on the line before, Sylvia?
No, I have not.
This is your first time. Well, very welcome.
Yes, that's right.
You've got a message a day, though, right? You got a notice, correct?
Yes. I have been, and I've wanted to, and I've just put off for whatever reason.
Well, I'm so nice to have you. And I have to say that this whole thing we do on these calls has been an ongoing experiment. I call it an experiment because this is not entertainment. Right now, it's kind of entertainment. I'm being entertaining, and I'm taking the lead of stuff. But we are working with these group soul energies, and many people have experienced how it feels when they show up. And it's an introduction, an unusual experience. Most people have that kind of experience. Of experience of an energy that comes in, during a call. Okay, so I'm going to mute you, and we'll be in just a moment.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Hang on, just 1 second. So I better start our recording here. Just a moment.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, welcome to our Monday night conference call. This is June 28th, and this is Winfrey in Sedona. Terry is in Los Angeles, and we have people all over the country and sometimes all over the world. And we welcome everyone who is listening, no matter where they are. And before I started the recording, I was explaining that if you're listening for the first time, this is an experience of group consciousness. And if you want to have that experience at its best, then I recommend take off your shoes, be in a quiet place, no distractions, shut the door, because we're working with energies that are very friendly and very loving that can drop in and visit you during this call. And many people have had that experience. Terry is a voice for those energies, and If you could imagine, if you want to try to imagine what it looks like, because it is good to visualize this. We live in the third dimension, 3D, or third density, or the planet Earth in the physical universe. Now, what defines a dimension is time. Time moves at a certain speed in this dimension. Well, now we're going to take the idea that there are other places, locations in the universe, and those locations are not necessarily locations that are different from where you are. It could be right where you are, where time is moving faster and or slower. And because you are a physical being in third dimension, you can't directly use your physical senses and see those energies move. So when you have synchronicities, when you have intuitions, when you have flashing insights, those are usually indications that part of you has accessed another timeline, picked something up, and brought it back down into your physical consciousness. That's kind of how it works. Well, in these other timelines, there's all kinds of beings. And in fact, if you happen to be born into one of those timelines, then you could even have what seemed to be a physical type body. It may not look like a human body, or it may, I don't know. And that that physical body could be in the same space that you're in right now, but you couldn't see it. And for example, a ghost is in another timeline, but it kind of fades in and out between this timeline and its timeline. So so therefore, a ghost is something that sometimes you can see. So when we start to realize that the universe has multiple timelines, we could imagine that maybe there's a place where time stops. And the place where time stops is perhaps the beginning of everything else. And that at that place where time stops, there is consciousness. There is intelligence. And we could see them as group souls, and okay, so there's multiple dimensions in and where time stops, there's also consciousness. And that consciousness where time stops is the consciousness that's how they explain themselves, how they was talking to us. And they name themselves the Elohim. And there's another consciousness, not quite at the place where time stops. It's at a place where time is still moving, but at a far different rate than here. And there's still spirit forms. And that's the group that's made up of graduates of this realm that we call the Ra group. And we have a combination of both those groups talking to us, answering questions about how it all works, and helping us know how to utilize the connection with them. So this is not about just energies. How can I say it? It's not just about information and going into your mind. This is really about how to have a working relationship with these energies and other dimensions. Learning how not to channel them necessarily, but to bring their energies in to expand yourself so they're part of you and you're part of them. And that's what we do in these calls. We develop that rapport with them. And Terry is a voice for them. Now, is all this true? I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying that in case it's true, it might be true. We've had a lot of evidence that it's true. We've had a lot of amazing things happen on these calls. We've had a lot of amazing answers to questions that it's hard to believe who else could answer them in the way they did. But it's your job to listen and check it out and develop your own resonance. We're just offering this in service so that you can do that, because what they're saying is our planet is in a great shift now. It's at the end of a cycle, a 75,000-year cycle, and things are happening on this planet that have never happened before, and the next years are going to be very unusual, and we're getting a certain degree of insight into what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how to cope with it. So, but you have to pay attention. You know, join messageaday.net, messageaday.net, you'll get our messages, and you'll get all kinds of stuff as we go. So, in just a moment, we're going to call in the light. Calling in the light is our invocation to bring in an expansion of energies into other timelines. One of the interesting things about the universe is, and you as a being in the universe, is that things work here. A human, one of the greatest powers a human has is intention. Intention is the force that causes people to move through dimensions. Just a moment. Okay, so where were we now? Learning how, as a human, you can access the power of your intention, and we have a couple criteria. We do things for the highest good of all concerned. We don't violate free will, and we're in this place right now where there's, if you're a Christian, some people are saying these are the end times. Our sources, I don't think they would, generally they'd use the word end times. But they do explain, there's a lot of explanation in our material about how things work in this period, which is the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And it does correspond, to a certain extent, to the prophecies of Jesus, but in a more esoteric sense. So the people that have read my material, read my books, read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, have gotten this insight about how things work in the universe and the big picture of the way things work. So, on that note, we have a discussion scheduled tonight, and the discussion is on the topic, how they work with us in doing interventions, and how does that work, and how can we get more interventions in this realm for both ourselves and for our planet. So, Terry, are you ready?
Uh-oh. Yes, I'm ready. I'm turning the mute off. Yes, I'm ready. Here I am.
Oh, good work. Okay. So, what's going to happen now is we're going to use our intention to create a group energy, and we're going to call in the light and create a oneness, a group consciousness, so to speak, amongst all of us present. And just a moment.
Hello?
I'm here, Terry. Just a moment. Okay. Just a moment. I'm parking my car. Excuse me for driving while I'm doing this. I have something really important to handle this particular hour. So, okay. Wait. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the positive universe through the galaxies, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, a group connection. And all of us on this call, and all of us who are going to listen to this call, might meet each other in the higher timelines where we actually are one. We are connected. We do this while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our individualities. And we invite our sources, our group souls, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive can access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we await for them to identify themselves and ask some questions.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are with you this day, the June 28th, 2010, in the time zone of, as a reference point, Los Angeles, California, Pacific Daylight time. We are aware of the gravity of some of the situations on the earth plane, and we are here to offer any assistance that we may in these difficult times upon certain parts and certain individuals, families, towns on your sphere. We ask if you have questions at this time.
Well, we have a topic that we started 2 weeks ago, and the topic was how intervention from your realm and I have the idea that interventions might really be helpful right now, and that there is a connection between what you can do, not violating free will. And of course, one of the interesting things that has come up is that we've talked about the oil in the Gulf, and you've talked about the free will of the oil. And that the oil, you can't violate the free will of the oil, which has been under pressure for millenniums and is now releasing its pressure. We've had experiences, and we've talked in the last call about how sometimes creating rain is not so hard, and there's indigenous cultures and tribes, Indian, Native Americans, that doing rain dances and asking for rain and is one of the standard protocols. And I guess rain is somewhat cooperative. And we've had experiences with wind and hurricanes that it's possible to change the course of a hurricane with the hurricane's permission. And we had the situation, of course, early on in our connection with my sister where you were able to move into her body microscopically and take filter, was the word that was used, I believe, when I asked about it, filter out something called lupus, which, according to medical history, cannot be taken from the body. It is something that if a person has lupus, they have it forevermore. And in my sister's case, the lupus disappeared from her test, which, according to the nurse, was something that couldn't happen. So this is a very important thing, because I think, well, if you can take lupus from her body, one of the questions is, when you took the lupus out of my sister's body, why did you not violate the free will of the lupus?
Thank you for your question. As you have been speaking, we have had numerous putting forth of information and have been waiting to give you this information. It relates to the way everything you've been talking about, the oil spill, your sister's lupus, it all relates to how the density is formulated and created and is manifesting according to the agreements of the formation of the matrices of the oil or of your sister's lupus or of the particles within the Red Sea, which became parted. All of these are part and parcel of creation. Now, in David Wilcock's channelings, where Ra has channeled through David Wilcock, there is one caveat on being able to go into a situation and change it, and that is when the majority of individuals are wishing for a certain outcome, a peaceful outcome, and have not contributed to some bad outcome. And then based upon that, then the higher forces, us included, can move in and to back the consciousness of the individuals wishing for the best outcome for these people. If the outcome does not have the majority or a very great amount of strong intentioned people moving for a certain outcome, then this can't be changed, as each individual is part of all that is, so that if you have a consensus that are working towards a certain outcome, then this consensus gets into the mind and the consciousness of not only the negative individuals, but it gets into the consciousness of the individuals or minerals or creative subconsciousnesses or lower consciousnesses of the minerals, of the makeup of the warp and warp of the third density, and then carries them with it to the desired outcome of the high intentioned consensus. Now, consensus doesn't have to be a certain number of individuals working towards something as opposed to others that are not working towards it, although they do have, this does have some part in it, because the more you have the number of people working towards a certain outcome, then that puts adds together towards the consensus of the creation of the manifest reality. And even though you may have some of the people that are negative working towards a negative outcome, the consensus will then move through the consciousness of the ones that are negative and will overtake it, and they will go along with it as they perceive it as their own, as they are part of the whole and really is part of them. So when you have a situation like the parting of the Red Sea, and you have a very high intention group that has to get across the sea and are putting out a very high intentioned goal to get across, then they will change the manifest reality of the particles within the sea, and the sea will then cooperate, and it becomes the agreement of the sea to cooperate in the parting of the sea to be as part of the whole, this high intentioned outcome. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And I would imagine today there are people that do fire walking. They walk over hot coals and they don't get burned. And it's somewhat of a similar principle, yes?
Yes, it is. In fact, the channel has done fire walking. There is fire walking done among the Hunas in Hawaii. And it, with the high intention and the letting go of the manifest reality of getting burned when walking through hot coals, then the reality becomes manifest that an individual can walk through this fire without getting burned. And the same would happen in other healing, wherein the high intention can heal bones or can move an individual through a traumatic experience without holding on to the trauma.
Now, Jesus said something like, he said two things that maybe relate to this. With the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And he said 10 people could save a city. Could you comment on those comments of Jesus?
When one person has the faith of a mustard seed, that this little tiny seed could grow up into a big plant, and there's no doubt about it. See, if you have doubt in your mind about the outcome, then it is placing the whole outcome in doubt. But if you have faith totally within your mind as a unit that the outcome will come forth, then the outcome will come forth. If you have no doubt, then this faith will spread in the outcome, and the universe to density will readjust to have that outcome come forth. And if there are others with other intentions, then the one with the faith of the mustard seed will be the prevailing outcome.
Well, if all that's true, and let's use Jesus as an example, and assume that he was someone that manifested that, why did he create also such antagonism? Why did not the negative switch and say, okay, let's be loving, let's follow the teachings of this guy? Because I assume he was the best example of someone in this realm that, or one of the best, that exhibited that kind of faith.
Each individual is part of the whole and is acting out one's own drama throughout one's track. And as one has individual lives and then reincarnates in those other lives, they have certain predispositions that have been formulated from the manifestation of the others and the manifest realm operating, acting upon their matrix, and they have taken on othernesses, and they have taken on the coloring of their surroundings and the coloring of what they have adopted as being true in their life in the third density, and then they promote that as being the truth of existence, and then their life operates on that truth.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go down their lifetime operating within both guidelines, and they give up or do not access the love light of the higher dimensions, the love light of the Christ consciousness, the love light of grace. They do not keep the connection so strongly and let the lanes of connection go, and then they, as being a part of all that is, and they retain their own piece of the puzzle, and so they are manifest within that range of spectrum and have their effect.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's people that are listening to this call right now, people listening on the air and on the replay line, that are saying to themselves, geez, I want to have that kind of faith. I want to have that kind of ability to be able to create an intention that resonates throughout the universe on that level. And yet, they're going to try it, and it isn't going to work. What would you tell those people?
Wanting something is the first stage in getting it. Imagining it as being in existence is the next stage of bringing something forth. And there will be a divergence between what they wish and what they see as their reality. For instance, if they want a Ferrari and they look around and they have 3 cents in their pocket and they don't have a Ferrari, and so they say, well, that doesn't work because I can imagine all day long that I have a Ferrari and I don't have a Ferrari. Well, then there is within their mind the doubt that they can have the Ferrari and that they can build their life or rebuild their life to be able to have the Ferrari. And they need to go through the bridge to bring their mind into the position where they can imagine and see within their mind that they can have the Ferrari. So they could start out by putting a picture of the Ferrari on the wall, and so that they would look at it a couple times a day, and they could had the Ferrari dealer bring one over and take a picture of it in front of their house and put that on the wall, so then they could start to imagine that there was the Ferrari parked in front of the house and build the bridge to be able to have the Ferrari. Now, you could build the bridge in two worlds. You could build the bridge within the manifest life and do the whole bridge within the manifest life so that you'd say, okay, and put on the wall the amount of money that the Ferrari costs, put on the wall what job you would have or find to be able to have that Ferrari and pay for it. Also, you could move into knowing that you're going to have the Ferrari, which is harder when you don't have it, but to have it with such faith that suddenly the manifest reality reconforms to your reality and there becomes non-linear ways of presenting you with your Ferrari.
Now, it's one thing to talk about a Ferrari, but I would say probably one of the things that happens to people is when somebody close to them is getting sick, or somebody close to them is suffering, and they want that. They want to be a cause to help relieve the sickness or the suffering. So there's these faith healers that people come up and they say, they touch them and suddenly they're hearing or they're healed. Are they tapping into this same model of with the faith of a mustard seed, one can do these kinds of things?
They are, but one has to be very careful with this because oftentimes when one has a disease, it is an eruption of some injustice in the past, something they have created or something has been created against them or back and forth. They created it and then got it against them and then they created it again. So that it is, the disease is an expression of something that is a distortion or something is wrong and it is a breaking forth of something that needs expression. Maybe they feel that they don't deserve to be healed, that they deserve this disease. And if a faith healer comes along and heals their disease, then it will break out in some other form within their body. And instead of having back pain, they'll now have neck pain or... And so the orientation of the individual and also the individual's matrix needs to be readjusted. And if they could be both together, readjusted together, that would be ideal, where one would readjust their mind and so that they felt that they didn't have to be good all the time, even though they were furious, or they could get through some of this, and they could express their emotions, and then they would be able to be truly healed.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I assume, I understand that there's a kind of a battle for energy going on in this realm, and that if enough people knew what you just said and could put it into action, the realm or planet would shift in an entirety. But there are other forces that don't wish that to occur, so that they understand how it works, and their intent is to keep people in a certain kind of compression, subjugation, and their energy hooked into things of this realm, so they can't co-create from the higher realms. So it's not if one is going to make a big shift in this realm, then one would have to be able to penetrate into many, many of those people who are compressed by what we could call the negative. Am I on track there?
Yes. Would you repeat your last sentence, Ken?
If one was going to make a big shift into this in this realm for many, many people, you'd have to free some of the people who are into the consensus reality that's projected from what we call the negative.
Yes. Now, the consensus reality is controlled to a large degree by some of the negative people who have the goal of creating fear, because they realize that when the majority of the people are in fear through economic threats or through physical threats of dislocation or earthquakes or through natural occurrences, when the majority of the people are in fear, then they can't amass a strong intention and direction. As when one is in fear, they're a little dispersed in trying to figure out exactly what way to move. And so then being in fear and not figuring out which way to move then makes it easier for the negative leader to herd them in a certain direction by promising some kind of a solution. So the negative does corral the majority of people, in particularly by using the media and using scare techniques and terrorist attack threats. So this does prevent the majority of people from rallying into one strong purpose. Now, the country of the USA was founded originally by individuals getting together, led by a few people who creatively set the intention on a certain direction, and then the people got behind it, and so it made a strong country.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've always wondered, you know, supposedly the original founders of the country, like, if you look at something like the Declaration of Independence, it's very idealistic. You know, all men are created equal, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, the founders of the country were pretty much rich landowners and masons. So, were they in fact positive? Was their intent high? Or was it a divided, mixed polarity? Some were and some weren't.
Give us a moment. It was a divided polarity, and they did realize to include everyone and to make these ideals would rally the country behind them and their goals.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, you know what? We've run out of time, and this has been very, very interesting information and understanding on how things work, and I hope that everyone on the call finds a way to have the faith of a mustard seed, or maybe get close to that, and come in on our Sunday call, because we try to do that on our Sunday calls in Shifting Consciousness. If you're on the call and you're not a member of Message a Day, I hope you join Message a Day, because you'll get ongoing messages and ongoing support. messageaday.net. And my name is Wayne Free, and we're going to wish everyone good night on BBS. And hang on.
I'm still on.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
And everyone's unmuted. Thank you all for being here and helping to hold the energy for that. And we'll see you in 4 days.